Chapter 11, The Essential Threefold Cords That Will Lead to Your Success. And when they did not find him, they dragged Jason and some brethren to the rulers of the city, crying out, "These who have turned the world upside down have come here too." Acts 17:6. All of the principles that we have discussed so far will remain relatively powerless unless we consistently and self-consciously apply them. In other words, knowledge of truth only has power when applied properly, consistently, and with explanation to those who are being affected by its application. To multiply truth, we must be able to teach others how to both understand and use it as well. Unless we do this, that truth remains only available to ourselves, and therefore we cannot expect to change our immediate environment, let alone a nation. In order to teach, we must discover what we know and also what we don't know. This is a process because it is only through teaching that my students' questions and different learning styles reveal to me my ability or inability to explain to them clearly how something really works. With this, I wholeheartedly concur. The fastest way to learn is to teach. All of this is laying a foundation for this single premise. True Christianity is about information that leads to transformation. Christ's supreme earmark upon those people or situations he touched was this: after he left, people were different. While this book is about basic and foundational biblical truths of economics and business practice, I am passionately committed to something beyond simple teaching. I want to see Christ glorified in this world through his people and glorified specifically through the practices of capital creation and empowered people. To see this accomplished, we must all make three basic practices a part of our lifestyle. 1. We must become disciplined learners or disciples so that we can master God's truths for our own sakes and for the sakes of those we are called to teach. 2. We must build a truly biblical Christian worldview, which begins by rooting out the deceptions the world system has carefully planted in our hearts and minds. 3. We must seek out others of like mind in order to network and build with them for the purpose of spreading and multiplying God's truths in the marketplace and out into the extended culture and decision-making centers. The remainder of this most critical chapter, then, is about how to take personal responsibility in our own lives to build a delivery system for the truths and concepts to which we have said, Amen. Square 1. Only disciples change the world. Are you living like one? And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Matthew 28:18-20. A disciple is a disciplined learner, one on the journey toward mastering those truths which have truly captured their heart. While Christ plainly called all Christians to be and make disciples, large numbers of us aren't living as such. The name Christian, a term applied to us by mere men, is only used 3 times in the Scriptures. Disciples is used over 250 times. Folks, there's a clue here, I think. Discipleship as a lifestyle, not a program, is wonderfully suited to the marketplace world because the feedback systems of results are so quickly and easily revealed. The laws of sowing and reaping act more quickly in business than in any other realm of coordinated human activity. Business ideas and actions usually have a rapid turnaround time, quickly showing up in tangible bottom-line results. Because of this, seeking to discover, apply, and master God's concepts in the business world carries with it enormous short-run possibilities for the building up of our faith that God's Word really works. Out from this will flow evangelism, remarkable success stories, and a whole new perspective on the place and value of marketplace ministries and issues. But this is all based on the delivery system God allows us to build for His truths. If he calls for disciples, then disciples are what he will use to carry the heart of his message's transforming power. This is not a book on discipleship, but let me describe what I consider to be the critical elements of discipleship we must embody to effectively bring our lives to the point of being change agents for Christ in the marketplace or anywhere else. 1. A captured heart. Disciples have been captured on a heart level by what they see as truth, beauty, justice, or sense in some set of ideas or skills, usually as displayed by another person. Example, sports, the arts, intellectual truths, money-making skills, spiritual skills, mechanical arts, etc. All of these arenas carry elements of truth, skill, art, and reward that capture people's hearts. 2. A standard of truth. Disciples must have a standard of truth, ethics, and excellence to measure their progress against without lowering the bar. For believers, this is obviously the scriptures. 3. A motivational power source. Disciples must have a compelling vision that empowers them to train, as well as handle hardships, discouragement, and all the other obstacles that stand between a novice and their quest to master what they aspire to be and know. Humanly speaking, this is called the power of a committed will. Believers need both a committed will and the power of God's Holy Spirit. 4. A source of instruction and correction. Self-teaching only goes so far. True disciples need coaches, teachers, and encouragers who will speak the truth in love, Ephesians 4:15, bringing correction when it is essential to further their learning and progress. Genuine disciples must be humble enough to be corrected and clear enough on what the truth really is to not be set off course by false teachers or unfounded opinions. 5. A quote-unquote B-side vision. Many normal Christians seem primarily to live life on the A side of personal motivation. What I mean by this is that their primary motivation and scope of life centers around their own welfare and those closest to them. A B side player is motivated by Christ to be used to play at such a level that their life can be used to affect many others. Their quest for mastery is driven by a vision of glorifying God and His kingdom at the very real expense of their own lives and personal convenience. Their lives are lives in training, and their standards of success are Jesus, Paul, and all the other men and women of the Bible whose lives were given for the sake of others. Christians go to heaven. B-side Christians change the earth on the way. Without learning how to live life as a disciple, the measure of change we should expect from our lives in terms of our influence on others in the marketplace or anywhere else will likely be very modest. In contrast, Hearts on Fire will take the Almighty and Son's franchise throughout the earth and into eternity. Truth that is neither modeled nor incarnated is abstract and therefore relatively useless. Square 2. Building a Christian Worldview. Have you started the task? And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Romans 12:2. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. 2 Corinthians 10:3-5. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects unto Him who is the head, even Christ. Ephesians 4:15. As these scriptures clearly point out, the reordering of our minds is an essential task. It's not an easy one. Only genuine disciples will start up this mountain, because it's a difficult task and often hard work. The world system has seen to that. After all, Pharaoh's system of education has very effectively brainwashed most of us, pouring into our minds a different moral, intellectual, and spiritual universe than the one God created, and in which we actually live. Beyond that, Pharaoh constantly reinforces that false universe as he influences the spending of billions of dollars in the media, arts, entertainment industry, newspapers, and magazines. I was once proud of my advanced education at Berkeley, until one day I saw what had truly happened. Pharaoh taught me history, economics, psychology, literature, science, and all the rest. About 25 years ago, I began the arduous task of yielding back to God a renewed mind, quote-unquote. I'm still at it. If you saw my library of Christian books, you'd believe me. If perchance you think you escaped Pharaoh by going to a more moderate university or college than Berkeley, you're deceived, my friend. Having homeschooled all our children before we sent them out to battle, I know something about what I'm saying. What they were exposed to, even in Christian education, had many areas where world system assumptions were covered over with well-intentioned Christian ethics. I am an unapologetic presuppositionalist. That means I want to know the origin and assumptions behind the ideas or truths before I buy them. A Christian view of all truth requires the rigors of such examination. Anything less may still get us to heaven by God's grace, but it won't be a strong enough antidote to the world system's falsehoods to change the earth. This book was written, and is still a work in progress, of my journey to think biblically in the realm of economics, business, and social policy. With God's help and the wise input of others, my search in the scriptures for these principles and how to apply them has been a wonderful and, at times, exasperating journey. Perhaps one of the hardest parts has been watching the media and listening to social commentators, business people, economists, and politicians wax eloquent on these kinds of issues, knowing that neither they nor the audience was prepared to think deeply enough or biblically enough to bring our economic and social policies into some semblance of true reality. Please hear my heart. We don't simply need Christian marketplace ministries validated as spiritual, or Christians making tons of money by applying God's laws. We need Christians with a biblical worldview who will re-educate millions of people one sphere of influence at a time. My first book, Winning the Battle for the Minds of Men, was driven by that motivation. It, too, is a work in progress. We need some form of local, regional, national, and international educational study groups for Christians called to the marketplace who really want to develop a functioning worldview which will serve them and their ministries. At Strategic Christian Services, we have developed the Business Leadership School, which is beginning to fill that gap, but we all need much, much more. When I hear the politicians arguing about certain business-related tax cuts benefiting the rich, I want to pull out my hair. Obviously, they and many of the American people do not have the foggiest idea how investment capital starts business enterprises and creates jobs. We desperately need Christians who have a biblical worldview as it relates to the marketplace. We believers must do something about this, and it should begin in our local churches and in the business Christians own or manage. Square 3. Working together strategically to execute God's plan for the nations. Will you start where you have influence? I once asked a seminar audience, "How do you eat an elephant?" Amidst laughter and consternation, I gave them my answer, one bite at a time. That, friend, is how the world is changed. One bite at a time. God moves from concentric circle to concentric circle, ever larger in size and influence. I'm not asking people to join an organization. I'm asking them to join a movement. That movement is defined as bringing God's truth to bear strategically and for the long haul within your particular sphere of influence. Remember, God's plan to extend His rule over the whole earth began with only two people in a garden. I'm sure that you are attempting to apply all that you know where you have influence in general and where you work in particular, at least when you're on your game. What we all need is to do it more consistently, more self-consciously, and more effectively. Consistency has to do with our habits and clearing our heads enough to get out of the tyranny of the immediate and urgent and into the reality of how to build our way into God's destiny for us on a daily basis. To do so self-consciously means that we know what we are doing, why we are doing it, and how to know if it is being effective. While there is much we could say about living consistently and self-consciously, for the sake of our discussion, I prefer to focus on how to build more effectively. The game of change is a game of leverage. The smart players find people, ideas, organizations, or resources that can be leveraged to multiply, not just add, a desired change. A well-placed fulcrum with a long enough and strong enough lever could, as Aristotle is reputed to have said, lift the world. So it is in bringing change. We need to find the right leverage points. Can I tell you where those leverage points are in your family, church, business, or any other organization? They are the true leaders or true influencers. Some of them may not even be officially recognized as leaders, but they actually are. Your task is to help them capture the organization's legitimate vision. This is where exponential growth truly begins in an organization. How do we know this? Is it the stuff of Harvard MBA programs? Not really. As we Christian disciples ought to expect, it is found throughout the Scriptures. God's Word is the source of our foundational truths. Jesus and the way He sought out the 12 disciples, taught and trained them, and then released them into their ministry with His heart is Exhibit A to the quest for modeled leverage. From a leadership perspective, your task is to find those who hear your God-given vision. Who are they? They are the ones who ask your advice and input and put it into practice. It's really that simple. It's the people that do what we suggest who are signaling to us that they are capable of being trained to be a leader and therefore a leverage point person for the vision. It's not about position. The real question is, are the people in those positions the right people? The right people need three things to be qualified to be there. One, honesty. That is, they give you their inner conversation, not just the outer one designed to please people. Two, competency. That is, they have the quest for mastery which fits their calling. That quest is even more important than their current knowledge base. Current knowledge bases top out. The quest for mastery does not. If they're not seeking mastery, they're not yet carrying a disciple's heart. Three, the capacity to be trained. That is, the wonderful quality of having the humility to learn from another and the character to jump into someone else's dream without envy or the need to control it. Once you start to build this way, you're on the way. The game then becomes focusing your prime time on these leverage point people and fending off everything else that can be fended off. And we all know that most things and many people demand quick and immediate attention. They form the tyranny of the urgent, but not the stuff of the strategic. A successful organization builds this way, and its leaders and managers are trained to look for new leverage point people and to build upon them. This is how employees become proprietors, and proprietors become points of leverage. Leverage point organizations become healthy organizations, and healthy people and organizations seek to relate to larger spheres beyond themselves. Now I'm ready to sketch out our final point in this strategic chapter. That which is truly healthy will always seek to interface with larger, healthy units. As a wise man I once knew said, "This is the principle of internal integrity and external integration." God's universe is filled with this truth. Unity and the ability to work together comes out of smaller, healthy units fitting together to form larger, healthy units. Look at the human body. It's a perfect example of this truth. Cells fit into common cell groups. Cell groups fit into organs. Organs fit into systems, and systems fit into the leadership of the head. What doesn't fit is either isolated in the lymph nodes, eliminated, or cancerous. Healthy people and organizations integrate. Unhealthy ones don't. Obviously, when we are talking about integration in the business world, we are not necessarily talking about mergers or independent businesses looking for larger companies to join or buy them out. Neither are we talking about vertical integration or the effectiveness of economics of scale. What I am saying is that healthy individuals fit into healthy departments, which fit into healthy divisions, which fit into healthy organizations. Whether the enterprise is large or small, the ability for smaller units to seek to add their strength to the larger units, which are a part of the same organization, is an essential sign of both personal and organizational health. Individuals, departments, or projects which do not properly integrate are the cause of not only great concern to the leaders, but substantial losses in both productivity and profitability. The better our personal ability to fit into the plans of the larger organization, the keener will be our own ability to discern between those who have this skill and those who don't. This law works in families, churches, businesses, and nations. Our goal is to become healthy so that we can fit into God's plan for His whole body, one life, one family, one church, one business, one industry at a time. Am I thinking too big or unrealistically? Reread Christ's prayer to the Father in John 17 and tell me that I am. Those who can hear the Almighty and Son sound can hear what I hear and see what I see. Doing business God's way is about the three essentials in this chapter. 1. Become a disciplined learner. 2. Retrain your mind biblically. 3. Seek to strategically network as you build through leverage point people. These three building skills are essential in order to put legs to the truths we have discussed, truths that will otherwise remain only in the world of abstract or religious concepts.